is Pause for Thought, a podcast brought to you by Animal Therapies Limited.
Today we are going to learn about medical alert dogs and their special ability to save lives. Australian Lions has been training hearing assistance dogs for 43 years, pairing more than 690 dogs with hearing impaired people over that time.
More recently, they have branched out to train medical alert dogs for people living with type 1 diabetes, a chronic condition that affects more than 120,000 Australians and over 8 million people worldwide. Laura Harris is a project coordinator and trainer with Australian Lions Hearing Dogs, and Eliza Bartlett is an Adelaide nurse and type 1 diabetic who took delivery of Sal, a miniature labradoodle, 18 months ago. We chat to Laura first, learning about how the dogs are trained, and then sit down with Eliza to discuss the huge difference that Sal has made to her life.
Laura Harris, welcome to Pause for Thought today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Laura, can you give me the backstory of the Australian Lions Association with training medical alert dogs? Because I understand it evolved from their long-established program, training and providing hearing assistance dogs.
Yes, so Australian Lions Hearing Dogs have trained and delivered hearing dogs for the past 43 years, but the Medical Alert Program is a new program, which is our first alternative program in the organisation. And so far we have delivered 5 medical alert dogs to people around Australia.
And can you just talk about how these dogs are trained?
So the first condition that we're training these dogs to alert to is for people with type 1 diabetes. So this illness emits 2 different scents. So this is what the dog is picking up on with their incredible sense of smell. So people with type 1 have low blood sugar levels and high blood sugar levels, which it's really difficult for them to control them. So the scents are associated with the low and the high. So we train the dogs using saliva samples that are provided from volunteers around South Australia when they're having a low or high blood glucose level. And they take these saliva samples that contains the scent. They're then stored in the freezer and we can pull them out whenever we need to for training.
How long does it take to train a dog?
Around 6 to 8 months. So as well as the alerting to the BGL events, which they do by physically touching with one paw on their owner's leg, the dogs also are trained to perform a few other tasks that will help their owner manage the condition. So these are, we call a hypo kit retrieve. So some people's blood glucose level drops really rapidly and they can't physically get up and get a sugar source to help treat themselves. So on the command, the dog will go and fetch this little pencil case filled with sugar sources or any other medication they require and drop it straight in their lap so they can treat themselves immediately. We've got the get help command where the dog on command will just go and find someone in the house, alert them and bring them back to the person in need. And then the emergency phone task, that's a little bit different. There's no verbal command with this task. When the dog sees that their owner is laying on the floor, they will then run over and press an emergency button, which will alert a list of emergency contacts. Yeah, so all those tasks are just trained with their individual parts and then chained together and put on a command or a signal.
And can any dogs be trained to do this, or are you using specific breeds? And if that's the case, why?
So we're using Australian Labradoodles at the moment. With the right temperament, they are a really good match for what we need them to do. So they need to have a balanced temperament to do the job. They need to have quite a high drive so that they're enthusiastic and motivated to be working like pretty much all the time. They have to alert whenever the event happens, which could be at any point. So they're going to have high drive for that, to do the tasks, but also be able to, you know, be well behaved in public settings because they've got public access rights the same as hearing dogs and guide dogs. They've also got to be quite people orientated to be able to stay beside their owner and bond strongly to them.
Now, Laura, doctors can help people with a range of medical conditions, but why are medical alert dogs needed?
So people with type 1 diabetes really struggle to keep their blood glucose levels in a normal target range. It's quite difficult because besides like food and exercise, many other factors can affect BGL. So including weather and stress, illness, hormones, dehydration. A lot of that, you know, we can't really control. So the dogs will just help, along with the technology, help ensure that the best management for BGL is maintained. And keeping the BGL within that target range more often than not will decrease the incidence of diabetes-related health complications. Yeah.
The dogs, when they're trained, are they trained from a very early age, or it doesn't matter what age you access the dog, or do you breed the dogs yourselves?
So, yeah, we breed the dogs ourselves on site. So we do have, yeah, we're able to start training at an early age, yeah.
Okay, so who's eligible to be partnered with a medical alert dog, and how is that funded?
So people who are eligible are obviously people with type 1 diabetes, but they must also use technology to manage their condition. The dogs are used in conjunction with a technological aids just to, you know, make sure that we're getting the best management as possible. The person must have been diagnosed with type 1 over 12 months ago. They must have no other pet dogs living in their house. So you can have other pets, but just no pet dogs. Currently, they have to be over 18. So we do plan to train medical alert dogs for children in the future, but we're not quite there yet. They have to have regular high or low blood sugar events so that the dog's training can be maintained. And they're willing to take their dog most places with them. Yeah, so we provide these dogs free of charge to people, but when they're placed, it's the owner's responsibility to then maintain the ongoing costs of a dog. And, yeah, our funding comes from donations, from members of the public. Lions clubs are heavily involved with the funding that we get.
Now, just going back to dogs trained for hearing impaired people, your organisation has paired almost 700 dogs in the past 40 years, which is just incredible. What difference has that made to people who are hearing impaired? And how does that complement technology now? Because it's so much more advanced, but obviously dogs are still playing a role.
Yes. So people who are deaf or hard of hearing, they quite often become more and more isolated because their confidence drops, they don't go out as much, they're not as involved in the community. So even with the aids, this tends to happen. So a dog really gets them out there, gives them a reason to, they have to go out and walk their dog every day. So then they're meeting new people and just getting back out into the community. Gives them the confidence to know that, you know, they're going to hear an alarm in a supermarket, you know, or someone walking up behind them with a trolley. So quite often, even with hearing aids and cochlear implants, you can't hear things coming from behind you or like direction of sound as much. Yeah, so and then people that use those aids tend to take them off at night to sleep as well. So even if they can hear most things during the day with these, you know, hearing aids and cochlears on, they tend to take them off at night so they have no hearing overnight. So, yeah, the dogs are just very helpful in the home and in public areas.
So in terms of medical conditions, you're focusing on dogs being trained for people with type 1 diabetes, but we do know that dogs can detect epilepsy, heart abnormalities, even some types of cancers. So yes. Are there any plans to go down that route? Is it all about funding?
It's mainly just because this is a new program for us. So we just want to make sure that we're having the type 1 diabetic alert dogs like very well established before we then try and do a whole new different type of illness. So I won't say anything at the moment because I don't want to get people's hopes up. But, we do plan to branch into other illnesses. So pretty much any illness that has a scent attached to it and that a sample can be collected for that illness, a dog can be trained to recognise that scent and alert to it. But, yeah, whether the samples are easy to collect or not will probably be a deciding factor in what direction we go in for the next illness that we choose.
Sure. I mean, we learnt during COVID, didn't we, that dogs can be successfully trained and were more effective than rat tests, for example. Yeah. Laura, is this service available nationally, the Medical Alert Dog Program?
Yes, it is. So I'm actually delivering the first medical alert dog that we've trained interstate in a couple of weeks. So prior to that, they've all been locally delivered in South Australia, but the first one will be going into Melbourne in March.
Oh, that's wonderful. And for listeners who are interested in sponsoring the training of a medical alert dog, because I'm sure it can be quite costly, what's the process?
If they visit the website, so that's lionshearingdogs.com.au, they can find more information about donating on there. And that's also where a recipient would look to apply for a dog as well.
Well, it's really clear that these medical alert dogs play an incredibly valuable role. And it's been really interesting to learn more about these special animals. So thank you for joining me on Pause for Thought today.
Well, thanks a lot, Candy.
Now, let's hear from Eliza. Eliza, welcome to Pause for Thought today.
Thanks for having me today, Candy.
Tell me about your medical alert dog, Sal, and how long have you had her?
I was very lucky to be placed with Sal back in October of 2022. So I've had Sal for almost 18 months now, and it's an amazing and I'm extremely grateful for Lions giving me this opportunity.
What was your life like before Sal, and what difference has she made?
So living with type 1 diabetes is quite a challenging chronic condition that a lot of people in the community don't really know what it entails. And having Sal has sort of taken some of that stress off what I do. So they say living with type 1 diabetes gives you an extra 180 decisions per day that you have to make on a regular basis. Whether it's adjusting to your blood sugar levels, your food, the weather, stress. So having my little companion Sal with me at all times to take off some of those stresses of whether I'm going low or my blood sugars are going high. She can fetch me my hypo treatment, so lollies, jelly beans for me. Just taking some of those small little things that you don't think too much about, but when you're making them so many times a day, it just takes some of that pressure off. In the past, I've also had occasions where I've had unconscious hypo events or I haven't woken up to hypos overnight. So a hypo is a low blood sugar below 4 millimoles. And in those situations, they can be quite dangerous. So I was lucky that I had family around and they could support me. But especially in adult life, it is something that you really worry about, that you might not wake up in the morning or you might not be able to get out of bed to get that treatment. So having that friend Sal next to me and able to support me through those little moments really takes that stress and anxiety away from some of the main stresses and concerns that living with type 1 diabetes entails.
Was there a particular event that led you to apply for a dog, or was it just an accumulation of incidents?
I was very lucky to hear about Lions program. They approached me to talk on ABC News, I believe it was, about the benefits of having a dog. And through that process, I was lucky to be made aware of the program and be offered to be placed with Sal. Like I said, growing up and having those few events that where I was found unconscious or needed third party assistance to treat a low blood sugar, I guess that anxiety has always stuck with me. So having Sal being a recipient of such a wonderful program has really taken that anxiety away.
What breed is she? And tell me about her personality.
She's a Labradoodle, a miniature Labradoodle, and she is full of personality. She is very intelligent, very naughty at times, but when she's working, she's switched on completely, which is amazing. So I do trust her fully, despite wanting to chew my socks at the same time. If I was to go low and she was playing around, she'll come straight up to me and let me know that I'm having a low, which I'm very fortunate to have. But yeah, she works with me, so she comes to work with me every day. She's switched on. Once she's hit that little jacket's on in public, she's a perfect little puppy. Take her home and she still does zoomies, runs around, likes to get into a bit of trouble, but it's the work ethic that she has and the intelligence that I know I'm safe no matter what mood she's in.
And you mentioned, you know, you said when she's working, is she ever not working?
She is working basically 24 hours a day. So it is quite a unique job that she comes to work with me for 8 hours, but then we go home and she's still by my side and taking care of me. She doesn't like to be too far away from me. I think she does worry a little bit. So she gets exhausted, but as long as she's getting plenty of rest when she's sleeping in my office at work and gets lots of time out to go for walks and plenty of treats. So she's a happy, happy little girl.
It sounds like a fabulous dog.
Okay, so diabetes is what people might consider a so-called invisible illness or disability. Have you encountered any negative responses to Sal, or do you find that most people are overwhelmingly positive?
I've been pretty lucky that most encounters have been really positive. However, most people assume the dog isn't for me and that I'm training the dog, or in the hospital where I work, so I'm a registered nurse at the Children's Hospital in Adelaide, and most people think I'm bringing it in to see the kids. And when I tell them it's my medical alert dog, that they get quite shocked and don't quite understand why. But most people are quite accepting of it, and I think everyone loves seeing a cute little dog around. So I've been probably very lucky in most situations. However, there are many times that I will get stopped and asked for her ID, or especially in public places, that most people say they haven't seen these dogs around. They're used to maybe seeing Labradors or guide dogs, places like that. And like you said, I might not appear to have a physical disability. So it is something that I have to continually educate on, but I'm quite open to educating and promoting awareness around it as well.
Well, that sounds like you're doing a great job in that sphere anyway. So lastly, can you see a day when perhaps technology could replace Sal? Because we already have arm sensors and breathalyzers to detect blood sugar levels. Do you think they could ultimately replace a dog?
So I also have an insulin pump and a continuous glucose monitor. So I have everything to keep me safe. But what I found is that Sal is most of the time more reliable than the technology is. So technology is amazing. Technology can also fail, as we know. Luckily, Sal hasn't yet failed and she's doing an amazing job. However, technology also has a bit of a delay on it. So those sensors on the arms, those continuous glucose monitoring devices, are about 15-minute delay. So in that time, if my blood sugars are dropping really quickly, it could put me at a really dangerous level. Luckily, I've got Sal who's picking up on them generally before I hit a low, which means I can treat that before it happens and often avoid even having that experience at all, which having a low blood sugar often takes minimum probably 15 minutes, but up to 30 minutes for just the brain to recover. And if it's a more severe low where it's dropping to levels closer to 2 or below, it can take an entire day for the brain to recover. So having Sal alert me before I'm reaching those levels is, I guess, at work. It means I can concentrate on the day. I'm working to my full potential. I play a lot of sports. So if it's before a training or something that I'm dropping low, it means I can perform the best I can. So I don't think technology will replace the need for medical alert dogs. However, I believe having both working together is really important, and it sort of means that all bases are covered and we can definitely stay safe.
Well, it sounds like Sal is worth her weight in gold, and just having her means you can live a really full life.
Certainly. I could not imagine life without Sal now, and I think what people don't realise as well is Lions are giving these dogs away for free to participants, and living with diabetes, as we mentioned, the sensors, the pumps, things like that are quite pricey and can often cost upwards of $5,000 a year. And so having something like this, that the initial cost was of nothing, but it's making such an improvement in my life, I will be forever grateful.
Oh, that's great, Eliza. Thank you so much for joining us on Pause for Thought today.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.